Welcome to the Deep Dive. We're here to cut through the noise and give you the core insights from complex sources, basically the shortcut to being well-informed.
That's the aim.
So today, we're tackling something pretty significant, a problem many highly educated students face. Yeah, you graduate with all this fantastic theoretical knowledge.
Top-tier stuff, yeah.
But then you step into the workplace, and it feels like hitting a wall. There's this gap, this skills mismatch between university learning and what jobs actually demand. It can really cripple your career start.
And it's not just, you know, in software or something. This hits hard in highly technical fields, ones innovating incredibly fast. Think about it. The basic knowledge from uni, it sometimes just isn't enough for the really specific brand new problems popping up right now.
Which perfectly sets up our mission for this deep dive.
Good.
We're going into a proposal for a really ambitious Erasmus Plus project. It's multinational, called AgroBiotech Plus.
The full title is A Smooth Transition from Academia to a Career in Agrobiotechnology, Designing Carrier Plan. Quite a mouthful.
Huh, yeah.
But the goal is clear. Figure out how this coalition, our 6 countries, universities, training centers, even ed tech plans, to basically revolutionize training for future agrobiotech pros, get them genuinely workforce ready.
And what jumps out immediately looking at the proposal is the scale versus the budget. It's a practical 2-year project running September 23 to August 25.
Okay.
Trying to overhaul vocational training across 6 different countries. And they're doing it with a total lump sum of 250,000 euro.
Wow, 250K for that scope.
Exactly. For redesigning education across nations and sectors as well, it's incredibly focused. It strongly suggests they're planning to leverage existing infrastructure, university labs, industry connections, rather than, you know, building everything from scratch.
Makes sense. That means how the methodology must be super efficient. So let's start with the context. Why agrobiotechnology? Why pick that field as the sort of test case for fixing this skills mismatch?
Good question. It's because it's absolutely central to Europe's economic future, its strategy.
Yeah.
I mean, biotechnology drives so many critical products. Like what specifically?
Well, everything from modern recombinant vaccines, powerful antibiotics, new nutritional supplements. Then you've got pest-resistant crops, the big push for biofuels, biodegradable plastics. It's huge.
Right.
And the European Commission's own bioeconomy strategy explicitly calls it an uptrend market. Massive potential for job growth. So if you can't get graduates working effectively here, you're basically hindering core EU goals.
Okay, so tackling something this vital needs a serious team effort. You said 6 countries, cross-sector. This isn't just one university doing its own thing.
Mm-hmm.
What was the thinking behind assembling this particular team?
Mm-hmm.
What synergy were they going for?
The structure is actually quite clever.
It
brings together the 3 pillars you absolutely need. Deep academic research, real applied industry experience, and crucially, modern digital delivery methods.
Yeah, who's doing what?
The coordinator is a university in Slovakia. They're leading on soil and water management research. Then they brought in other universities from Spain, focusing on agroecology, Romania, and the Czech Republic, bringing expertise in industrial microbiology. And then, crucially, they added 2 non-academic partners.
Right, the cross-sector part.
Exactly. A farm advisory SME, a small business from Poland. They bring the, you know, the boots on the ground reality checks. And an edtech SME from Turkey, specifically to handle the digital learning side, the content development.
So, let's see, Slovakia coordinating Spain, Czechia, Poland, Turkey, Romania. That's a massive coordination job right there.
Yeah.
Just the admin, the cultural differences. How do they plan to make that work smoothly? What's the kind of secret sauce mentioned in the source?
It seems to be very clear segmentation of expertise. They didn't create overlaps. Each partner has a distinct role based on their core strength.
Okay.
Slovakia handles the main agrobiological research base. Spain brings that specific agroecology piece. Romania and Czechia on the industrial microbiology knowledge. Poland provides the real-world farm advisory view and that feedback loop. And Turkey focuses only on the digital content production dissemination.
Ah, so division of labor by competence, not just geography.
Precisely. Minimizes stepping on toes, maximizes expertise.
Okay, that structure makes a lot more sense now.
Mm-hmm.
Let's get to the really interesting part, the methodology. Because this project isn't just about a new syllabus, is it? It's about fundamentally changing how students learn.
Yeah.
They're moving from passive lectures to hands-on, project-based learning, PBL.
That's the absolute core of it. And they're using a specific framework within PBL, design thinking. Now, this is critical. Design thinking isn't your typical academic approach.
Right, it's more from engineering, product design.
Exactly. It's prized for being iterative, for embracing, even expecting a degree of failure and learning from it. Very different from traditional science, where you aim for perfection first time.
So yeah, traditional science wants rigor, proof, perfection. Design thinking wants iteration, prototypes, learning by doing. How do you blend that into a university course to build those transferable skills everyone talks about?
They guide the students through 5 distinct stages, and these stages deliberately challenge that academic need for perfection right away. Stage 1 is empathize.
Okay.
And here they use a flipped learning model. So the passive bit absorbing information happens before class. Students watch specific video tutorials, these success stories we'll touch on later, to really get inside actual messy industry problems.
So they come to class already primed. That frees up time for application.
Exactly. Class time is for the hard work. So after empathize comes define. Here, the student teams have to work together, analyze the info they've gathered, and really nail down the exact problem they're trying to solve. No ambiguity allowed.
Forces clarity. Okay.
Yeah.
Then ideate, generating out-of-the-box ideas. That sounds good, but agrobiotech is highly regulated, complex. Doesn't that creative brainstorming just crash into reality pretty fast?
Yeah.
How does the model handle that?
Well, that clash is part of the learning process. For ideate, they use tools like, say, Padlet digital whiteboards for rapid idea sharing. The goal at this stage isn't immediate feasibility. It's just generating possibilities, widening the scope.
Okay, quantity over quality initially.
Right. The reality check, that tension you mentioned, hits hard in the next stage. Prototype and carrier planning.
The moment of truth.
Pretty much. This is where the teams have to take their chosen idea and turn it into something tangible, a product outline, a process description, a prototype. And this is where theory slams into practice.
Because they bring in outside help.
Exactly. Experts, industry reps, they get involved right here, supporting the students, but also forcing them to confront the real-world constraints, regulations, cost, practicality. They have to refine their concept immediately.
And the last stage.
Test. Students present their prototypes to these external experts. They get direct, often blunt, feedback. And the key is they then have to iterate, go back, refine, maybe even pivot based on that feedback.
So this whole cycle ensures students aren't just cramming for an exam. They're actively developing those crucial transversal skills. You know, complex problem solving, critical thinking, collaboration, communication.
While working on genuine, messy, real-world challenges, it forces them to operate more like actual professionals from the get-go.
It directly tackles that employability gap we started with. Success isn't just memorizing facts. It's about creating something demonstrably valuable.
That's exactly. Can you design a workable solution? That's the measure.
Okay, let's talk about the concrete results then, the project outputs. In EU grant terms, these are the work packages, right? The actual things they promised to deliver.
Correct. First big one is Work Package 2, the training program curriculum. And here's a really key detail. This curriculum wasn't just dreamed up by academics in a room.
No, tell them.
It's entirely needs-driven. They developed it by gathering and synthesizing data questionnaires, workshops from 150 bioeconomy professionals across Europe.
Wow, 150 industry pros feeding into the curriculum design.
Yes. So the content itself is effectively pre-validated by the very people who might hire these graduates.
That's smart. And what's the focus beyond the core technical skills?
It's heavily weighted towards career navigation and development skills. Things often missed in purely technical degrees. Mandatory modules on self-assessment, goal setting, effective networking strategies, even negotiation skills.
So it's about landing the job and succeeding in it, not just being theoretically qualified.
Precisely. Then you have Work Package 3, Success Stories Video Tutorials. This is where that Turkish EdTech partner leads. And it feeds directly into that flipped learning approach we discuss.
Right, the empathized stage material.
Exactly. It's a multimedia package, 12 short video tutorials. Some are expert talks, others are animated explainers, designed to be easily digestible, watchable multiple times.
Okay.
But the really impressive part for scalability and reach is the language access. These videos won't just be in English, they'll be fully captioned or dubbed in 7 languages.
7. So English plus all 6 partner languages.
Correct. That massively increases the potential impact across the EU, makes the materials far more usable long term.
Yeah, that's a significant commitment to accessibility. Okay, then Work Package 4, Handbook for Carrier Planning. What's that?
Think of this as the lecturer's guide or the trainer manual. It's the key to replication. It lays out the entire methodology, the PBL structure, the design thinking framework, so any other institution could potentially adopt and adapt it.
Makes the whole thing sustainable beyond the project funding.
Exactly. And it also includes 12 detailed case studies, two success stories from agrobiotech businesses in each of the six partner countries, real-world examples to inspire students and ground the theory.
Okay, curriculum, videos, handbook. But the real proof is in the pudding, right? The practical test.
Absolutely. That happens during the piloting phase. The plan is to put 120 undergraduate students through this whole new curriculum and methodology.
And how do they measure success? Not just grades, I assume.
No, definitely not just grades. They're focusing on two key outcome-based indicators. First, the quality and genuine innovation shown in the prototypes the student teams develop.
Okay, tangible output.
Second, the number of early job contracts secured by these students, either just before or immediately after graduation.
Ah, so direct market validation. Very clear, measurable results tied straight to employability. Makes sense. So let's zoom out a bit. We see the educational innovation, the job focus. What about the bigger picture? How does this connect to wider goals like, say, sustainable development or environmental protection?
Well, the project's impact is designed to be inherently linked to green goals. The source material really emphasizes this. The student prototypes aren't just abstract exercises, they're meant to tackle actual environmental problems.
Can you give an example?
Sure, students might work on designing solutions for maybe bioremediation of polluted farmland or developing more sustainable ways to produce biodegradable plastics. The whole training approach is channeled towards creating applied environmental benefits.
Got it. And one last crucial piece for any project like this, making sure it lasts. How do they ensure that connection between universities and industry stays strong after the initial funding runs out?
That's the main goal of the final work package, WP5, dissemination and events. They're planning six big final events, one in each partner country.
Okay.
The aim is to bring together around 300 people, industry professionals, academics, policymakers, and students. It's a massive networking push, yes, but it's also about creating a lasting community, a pool of ambassadors who will carry the results forward.
And sustaining the curriculum itself.
The sustainability plan is built in. It ensures every partner university keeps the rights to use, modify, and remix the course design and materials using their own resources. This guarantees the curriculum can evolve locally as the industry itself changes, long after the Erasmus Plus money is gone.
So the overarching goal seems to be shifting higher education in this field, moving it from just absorbing knowledge passively.
Yeah, from lectures and textbooks.
To an active, iterative, problem-solving process. One that's directly plugged into the real needs of a really vital European industry. It's less about teaching students what to know and more about teaching them how to solve actual problems.
Precisely. And it's that structured flexibility, that framework for tackling real challenges, that gives this model its potential power for the future.
Which leads us perfectly to our final provocative thought for you, our listener, to mull over after this deep dive. We've seen this highly structured project-based learning approach connecting six countries, different disciplines, real industry pressures, all focused on solving tangible problems in agrobiotech. If this model proves effective, if it demonstrably creates graduates who are genuinely job-ready from day one.
Which is the big if they're testing.
Right. But if it works, how quickly do you think this kind of applied, iterative, problem-solving model could become the expected standard, maybe even the mandated standard for all specialized technical fields across the EU? How long until purely theoretical degrees start to look insufficient?
It really does raise that question, doesn't it? If the focus shifts from just knowing stuff to proving you can actually do stuff iteratively, like in design thinking, what does that mean for the future of the traditional university lecture? The demand from industry for these practical skills is already sky high. This model suggests education might finally be catching up in a very structured way.